Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray together? Living Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that once again we may be reminded that you have been raised from the dead and that you live and that you're anxious to live in our hearts and in our minds. As we experience one new experience every day, grant, Lord, that it may be interpreted in the light of the fact that you live today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, it takes a lifetime to fully understand a great experience. In fact, I'm not at all sure that we fully understand it even after we've lived a lifetime. The great experiences of life are not easily comprehended in totality. Take marriage, for example. Do we really fully understand it? I know we can go to all kinds of marriage retreats, and they're wonderful, and it is good for us to do that. But do we really ever have a full understanding of the marital relationship with one another? I don't think so. I've been married 47 years, and I'm still making some great discoveries. And that makes marriage so very, very exciting. I'm glad there's still something for me to learn. What a great experience it can be. It can be. Pretty soon I learn, first lesson, that my time is not my own anymore. You learned that? Remember how you learned it as a young married man or woman? My time is not really my own. We were married the last year that I was in the seminary, and our little apartment was right across the street from the dormitory where the theological students who were not married lived. Every night in those dormitories, we had theological bull sessions. We learned more theology in those bull sessions than we ever did in the lecture rooms, I think. Sometimes we get into some hot arguments about this. I just truly loved going to those theological bull sessions. So about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, I'd slip over there. And 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, I suddenly realized, hey, I'm a married man. I got to go home. So I went home. Glad I had a wife. But I was in the process of learning that my time is not completely my own. That's a tremendous adjustment to make. Watch the newspapers. Many of the marriages do not make it the first couple of years. People can't quite get with this, that my time is not 100% my own anymore. And then we have to begin to understand that we now have a partner, and that partner is going to be with us in our decisions. We do not make decisions alone. We make them with one another. We encourage one another. We correct one another. We assist one another. We defend one another. We criticize one another. And after you've lived through that for many, many a year, that relationship gets so strong that you begin to understand what the Bible says, the two have truly become one. And when something happens to that spouse, either in death or in divorce, something has really happened to us. I visited with old Lloyd Gardner, one of the saints of this congregation, the other day as I walked through the Lutheran home. He lost his wife a year ago. They'd been married, I don't know how many years. And I said to him, Lloyd, how are you? I'm an amputee. I am an emotional amputee. I've lost more than half of myself. You never quite understand that real marriage relationship. And that's the way that it should be. The birth of a child. Parenting. You want to write a book and get printed? Write it on the marriage. Write it on parenting. Those two subjects will get it sold, if anything will. That's what my good friend Charlie Shedd tells me. Write on parenting. Well, many of us have been parents for a long time. Do we fully understand it? No. We were all set. We had been to all kinds of classes, or I hadn't, but many of you younger ones had. You get to all kinds of classes. You were in the labor room. You watched the child being born. Marvelous, marvelous. Do you understand parenting then? No, sir. You know, you come home, remember that first night, 2:30 in the morning? You and your spouse had been able to sleep through everything. A train going through Georgia wouldn't have awakened you. But at 2:30, all of a sudden, you hit the deck, don't you? My child, my baby, the first night I'm home. And if you had two twins, wow, huh? Really was something, one for each one. Now, you never forget it. After about a month of that, you know, of 2:30 in the morning, pushing that crazy cradle, you begin to wonder, is it worth it? It's worth it. You live through all of that. They grow up. And you see them, and then they begin to have their children. And when the child begins to play the piano for the junior choir, you want to go down and see what he looks like when he's playing. That's why it's that down there. Never quite understand it, you know. You never quite understand this whole parenting. And then finally, you may shake your head sometimes. You may say, those crazy kids, why are they doing what they're doing? But you love them. And then the day comes that you're going to say goodbye to them. Stop kidding ourselves, people, when we take them away to college and we say goodbye to them, something has happened. The rope has been broken. When we left our oldest daughter at St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota, I cried from Northfield to Faribault. The empty nest is not just an easy adjustment. Not at all. We don't understand parenting and all that is involved with it. Now, it's with that setting, then, that I'd like to get into our text today. Here the disciples are living in that period right after Easter. And they were being told, in fact, the text is an incident that happened on Easter Sunday night. They've been told by the women that Jesus had been raised. Mary Magdalene had seen him. And yet, the idea that Jesus Christ is alive was really something that they had to get used to. And it's something that you and I have to get used to. Do we fully comprehend? Do we really fully comprehend as we stand here in the pulpit this morning and sit in the pew that Jesus Christ is alive? Oh yeah, we can say yes. But every different circumstance of life must again have that applied to it, that Jesus Christ is really alive. These disciples were then living in the afterglow of Easter. If you have your Bibles open to Luke 24, which is the gospel and the text for the sermon today, let me read you and you can follow along with me and bring your own Bibles, if you will. Get an outline and a bulletin this morning. We're going to try to make this something like Chuck Swindoll does so that we get into the scriptures. It doesn't matter what I say to you this morning. What's found in the Word of God? Look at verses 36 to 38. While they were still talking, and John tells us that's behind the locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jews and they were afraid of the Romans, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." Now just imagine, you're behind locked doors You've heard that he was alive. Here he is. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. Even there with Jesus physically in front of them, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind?" You see, their feelings were playing games with them. Jesus had told them that he would be raised. Mary Magdalene and probably some of the others had said, "We have seen him." But dead people don't rise from the grave. So now Jesus does what is necessary for every generation. He takes a life experience and proves the scriptures to be true. From verse 39 on, here he is right in their midst. "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me." Remember when Mary Magdalene wanted to touch him? That day that he appeared, that Easter Sunday morning when he appeared to her, he said, "Not now, not now." That night, he said, "Go ahead and touch me. A ghost does not have flesh or bones, as you see." And that wasn't enough. So if you drop down to the next verse, in verse 41, he says, "You got anything to eat here?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, lutefisk. If anybody could eat lutefisk, he was alive. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. Now, what is this? This is the experience of life coupled with the scriptures that is saying to you, Jesus Christ is alive. That was the experience that they had to have. Jesus is real. Christianity is not based on a dream or on a fairy tale. It was prophesied. Verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." In other words, this was not an emergency plan that God finally brought in when everything else had failed. No, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, you read that in Genesis 3:15. What is it, he says to Satan, the tempter? "I will put enmity between you and the woman. You will bruise his heel, but I will bruise your head." In other words, I will defeat you, Satan. And then as you read the prophets and as you read the Psalms, you see the unfolding of God's way of salvation. How is God going to save us? From the very beginning, it is decided. In the fullness of time, he would send into this world, born under the law, born of a woman, a Savior. And he would suffer. He would die. He would pay the price for our sins. He would be raised again. And as a result of that, if we would receive him as our Savior and our Lord, if we would respond to all of this, then we would be restored into fellowship with God. The experiences of life coupled with the Word of God revealed to us the most important experience that we'll ever have, that Jesus Christ is alive. We need to have that said to us 100 times a day. Jesus Christ is alive. And the way that he wants to help us along life's journey may not be the way that we want, but Jesus Christ is alive. Robert Larson, Bruce Larson, who for many years was the pastor of the large Presbyterian Church in Seattle, and now is an associate pastor at the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, tells the story, I don't imagine it's true, but it's a good story at least, of an unbeliever who was out mountain climbing. And he slips and falls, and he's about ready to plunge into a ravine. When as he is falling, he manages to get a hold of a bush. And here he hangs in midair, the unbeliever. He looks heavenward and finally says, "Hey, up there, is there anyone who can help me?" And the voice comes out of the heavens with one of our families this week. The husband is suffering from a very, very severe torturous malignancy of the lung. Very difficult for him to walk very far. Completely dependent on his wife. And on Wednesday of this week, she had her physical examination. You know what she found? A cancer in the uterus. Can you imagine that? He is suffering from cancer. Needs her so badly. Now she is ill. How do you say to them, Jesus Christ is alive? They know he's alive. But it takes a certain amount of adjusting by the power of the Holy Spirit to take this great afterglow of Easter message and apply it to where you are. We don't do a very good job of it. At least some of us don't. I heard Cal Thomas the other night. Cal Thomas, the columnist, you know, the syndicated columnist whose paper articles appear in 350 different newspapers around the country. Spoke over here at Five Sullivan Brothers, and I had the opportunity to hear him. You can see that here's a man who is understanding more and more every day that Jesus Christ is alive. Cal Thomas spends part of his time running around the country, but much of his time right in Washington, at press conferences, with the president, the Supreme Court, the legislature, the Congress. He knows what's going on. This man who is committed to Jesus Christ told us the other night in words that I'm applying to his address, the United States of America, with all of our churches and with all of our preachers and with all of our committed lay people, do not believe when it comes really to the affairs of the nation that Jesus Christ is alive. Remember what the Jews wanted when Jesus was walking around on this earth? They wanted a Messiah. But they wanted a Messiah who would build an earthly kingdom. They wanted a Messiah who would deal with the external matters of life. And they didn't get that. They got a Messiah who dealt with the internal problems. And he says, this is exactly where our country is today. The problems are moral and spiritual. And the only one who can deal with these is Jesus Christ. And we don't realize that he's alive. And so as a result of that, as a nation, we look to government to answer our problems. We look to big business. We look to big unions. We look to the human element to change our way of life. We need to know, in the midst of a time when it appears that there's a real spiritual and moral collapse in our land and God knows where we're going, that Jesus Christ is alive. That's not preacher's talk. That's what it is. So, he's alive. As he sits there with them, or stands, he says to them, you know another thing that's important? Experiences with the Lord never end. There's always something greater that's coming on ahead. Now, what could there be greater than seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, raised again, sitting there eating in your midst? Nothing could be greater than that. But Jesus said, oh yeah, you got something greater coming even yet. Verse 45, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. You see, until the Lord Jesus Christ has opened our minds, friend, we don't understand the scriptures. When the sociologist and the psychologist and all the other disciplines of our day is telling me that basically I am a very good, independent person, why would I believe if I read in the scriptures that I'm a sinner? When the world is telling us that if there is anything after death at all, certainly you're going to get there by a meritorious life, why would I ever believe the gospel? It is not until the mind is opened. Then Jesus opened their mind so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance, notice, repentance, a sorrow for sin and a turning from it, and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. That's what's going to happen. I have been raised to give you a message to go to the world with. And it's going to be told around the whole world. And he says, wait here, because you're going to be clothed with power. What's that mean? Going to be clothed with power. 50 days or 7 weeks from the time that he sat with them on that Easter Sunday night, there would be a greater experience. For on that particular day, on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit would come into their lives and fill them with power. And the church would be born. And those few hundreds of people, probably scattered throughout the Holy Lands, would suddenly be moved into all parts of the world. You will be empowered. Friend, that's for us too. The Holy Spirit every day will empower us. If we think that we at Nazareth Church can move this thing along on our own, we're mistaken. Much more could happen if we would only let the Spirit of God enter into our hearts and into our minds and move us on out. I hear people say, I can't talk to others about my faith. You know why? You're doing it on your own. I can't either. I can't either. But it is amazing when the Holy Spirit comes, how he opens the doors and how we can walk in and we say things. And I'm sure you have the same experience if you're walking with the Lord. There are times that I have to shake my head and say, where in the world did that come from? That's what he has promised. You're going to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that little crowd went out and changed the world. So what is it? He says, stay right here. Or in another version, wait. Wait. We need to wait. They had to stay there for 7 weeks just wondering what in the world is going on. Can't you see impulsive Peter saying, we got to get going. Andrew says, the Lord said to wait. You can't go out and do a man-sized job when you don't have the strength to do it. Wait. What's waiting for us? It's not a waste of time, friend. If you're serious about the Christian faith, about being a part of this group of disciples who are changing the world, it means that you and I will wait every day. We'll take a few minutes out and we'll wait. Stay here. We'll open up our Bible. We may have one tucked away in our desk. We open up that Bible and we begin to read a little bit. We read with our children. We read with our spouse, whatever it may be. We get into a small group Bible study. We don't leave here today and go out and just drink some coffee and get a crusty old roll. You can get that later on. We go up into some of those Bible classes and we wrestle with some of these things that are found in the Word of God. Wait. That's what he's saying. Wait. Come to church on Sunday morning. When I got back from Minneapolis in the middle of the week, I said to Pastor Erickson, how's the church attendance? And he told me what it was, less than 2,000. And Bob shook his head. He said, how can you have 4,300 on Easter Sunday and less than 2,000 the Sunday after? See, that's not waiting, friend. We talk about this congregation going. I have people say to me regularly, what's your next project? As if we were nothing but one project on top of another. The task of this church is to do the same thing day in and day out, point men and women to Jesus Christ. That is our project. This idea of giving somebody a spurt of life by doing some external thing, no. Oh, it may make the church come alive for 12 months while you're going through it. Wait. We want to be alive as a congregation. We live in this word. That's where it is. That's where we wait. And then what happens? What did he say? And the gospel will be preached and you will be witnesses to this. and you will take the message of repentance and forgiveness to the parts of the world. Friend, that's our project. That's a program for every one of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ. That's why I try to stay as close to this text as I can. I don't want you to think it's coming from me. But we are really only a part of the church of Jesus Christ when we do what has been said in the Word this morning. Otherwise, we're playing Christianity. Just playing it. The great experiences of life take a long time to understand. One of the great blessings of the Christian faith is that it takes away boredom. I don't know about you, but boredom kills me. The routine of life. I hear somebody say, I asked them, do you like your job? It's the same thing day in and day out. It's boring. I can tell you, you hook Jesus Christ into your job and it's never boring. Because he will open up doors for you that gives you something new every day, right in your course of labor. Because we're always trying to understand life in the afterglow of Easter. We're always trying to interpret life with this great understanding. I don't walk alone. Jesus Christ is alive. He walks with me. The light of the gospel is alive. It never goes out. Christians always are living in the afterglow of Easter. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.